close enough for government work.
The problem is, Your Honor, if the jury is asked to find only the 5-gram amount, then we don't know if they found based on 5 grams or if they actually did find based on the 27 and 28 grams.
But what I'm just asking, what conceivable difference could it make? If they'd found 20 grams, then your client could have been sentenced to life imprisonment. But since your client was sentenced to only 8 years, what difference does it make whether the statutory maximum would have been 40 years or life?
The difference that it makes is that it is our contention that the government should have been required to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
No, that's your legal argument. I'm asking what difference it makes. Take a case in which the district court writes an opinion saying in scarlet, large type, italic print, the maximum sentence for this person was life imprisonment, but I'm giving him 8 years, right? And you appeal. Would we review what the district judge said about the maximum, or would we just review whether the sentence was lawful, given the real maximum?
If I was appealing from the sentence, you would look just at whether the sentence was lawful.
Lawful, given the real maximum.
But what I am contending in this case is that because of the faulty jury instructions, his rights to due process and to a jury trial were violated, and that he should be given a new trial. I am not arguing in this appeal about the sentence that he received.
Are you arguing that they didn't find that there was possession of any drugs at all?
What they found, no. What I'm arguing is...
Tell us what are you actually arguing?
What I am arguing is that the jury was improperly instructed because the judge told them on the one hand that they only had to find a reasonable amount and then asked them to find at least 5 grams.
No,
and
whether at least 5 grams. If the judge told them to find 5 grams, you can't direct a verdict in a criminal case. Ask them to find whether, right?
Right, and they found less than 5 grams.
But this sounds like the district judge did exactly what Apprendi required. Asked the jury a series of questions that would enable the jury to set the maximum punishment. And then the judge selects a penalty from within the maximum punishment. Maximum punishment was set. Your client got a sentence less than that. You know, nothing else going on here. Move along, nothing to see.
Your Honor, what's going on here is that we are contending that the drug amount should be treated as an element of the offense. And because the government...
But that's been rejected even by the Ninth Circuit.
And we are asking you to revisit it, particularly in light of the way that the court explained its finding in Apprendi when it decided Ring. Because what the court is saying is that if any factor that increases the punishment or the maximum punishment, and in fact, the concurring opinions of Thomas and Scalia go even farther.
What do you think would actually happen? 4 jurors conclude that your client distributed 5 grams of cocaine. 4 jurors conclude that he distributed 10, and 4 that he distributed 15. Think your client has to be acquitted because they can't agree on the amount?
I think he should have to be acquitted if they can't agree on the amount. But it should be treated as an element of the offense.
But that's basically your argument, is that you wanted it as an element of the offense. The fact that they did find he possessed less than 5 grams, but he possessed a substantial amount, or a measurable amount.
He did possess a measurable amount, but I think that when the jury is instructed, as it was in this case, that it causes a certain amount of confusion and it's misleading. And we don't know whether the jury believed, especially in this case, where there was a question about the drug amounts because in the first instance the drugs were destroyed and there were conflicting testimonies among the people who measured the drugs as to whether the drugs were cocaine-based or they were just cocaine. And so in this case it was important, and the jury should have been instructed that they had to find the amount in the indictment, not just some measurable amount of cocaine, because they may have thought maybe he did something, but not what was in the indictment, in which case the government would not have met their burden of proof, and he should have been found not guilty. So it's a violation of his due process and jury trial rights that we are complaining about in this case. And I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Madeline Murphy. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney, and I am asking this court to affirm the district court's decision in this case concerning the jury instructions given, since they were entirely consistent with Apprendi, with Ring, and with Roe, in that they properly instructed the jury as to the elements of the offense, and they also properly instructed the jury to make the specific findings to enable the government to seek the enhanced penalty under Section 841B applicable to situations where more than 5 grams of crack cocaine had been found by the jury. As the court is aware, Apprendi is a sentencing decision. It did not change the elements of any offense. All it did was change what the burden of proof would be and who the fact finder would be for certain facts in situations where there is a multi-tiered sentencing scheme set up by a particular statute. For example, here, in Section 841, whoever violates Section 841A commits a crime with a maximum penalty of 20 years. In the event that they violate it in certain specific ways, A, in excess of 5 grams of crack cocaine, among other types of drugs, or B, in excess of 50 grams of crack cocaine, along with other types of drugs, then there are certain facts that must be found beyond a reasonable doubt. The only thing that changed when Apprendi was handed down was that that decision was taken from the judge, who used a preponderance standard, and put in the hands of the jury using a standard beyond a reasonable doubt. The standard in this circuit for finding violations of Section 841 is still simply a measurable amount. There was nothing inconsistent or confusing about the instructions concerning the amount necessary to find a violation of the statute here. And also there was nothing confusing about the instructions when the instructions went on to ask the jury to make the specific findings so that the government could seek the enhanced penalty for the larger quantities of crack cocaine as set forth in the statute. Ring did not change Apprendi. All that Ring did was apply Apprendi to a certain situation wherein a statute provided not for a multi-tiered sentencing scheme, but for a range of sentences, and the only way in which an offender could get the ultimate sentence in that range was if a judge applying the preponderance standard found certain facts that were not among the elements of the offense. So Apprendi was not changed by Ring. It was simply applied to a different type of sentencing scheme. The death penalty sentence in Ring involved a statute wherein the elements of the crime of murder made the defendant eligible for the death penalty. But the only possible way that the defendant could get the death penalty is if the judge found certain specific factors, certain factors in aggravation. So under those circumstances, the Supreme Court found that Apprendi would require that those facts, since they changed the ceiling, the highest possible sentence that one could get, would have to be found by the jury and proven beyond a reasonable doubt. This is nothing different from what Apprendi already said. It just addresses that unusual circumstance where there is a one-tier sentencing scheme, but the highest tier of the sentencing scheme could not be imposed unless the judge made certain findings to a preponderance rather than having a jury find it beyond a reasonable doubt. In any event, the defendant was given the opportunity in this case to oppose the jury instructions that were offered by the government, and he decided to waive those instructions and did not submit any other instructions. So it's the government's position that there is a waiver here, that this is an issue that shouldn't be before this court. And even if it is properly before this court, it would be only at a plain error standard. And given that the instructions are entirely consistent with the Seventh Circuit case law and with the Supreme Court case law here, no error occurred whatsoever in the sentencing of the defendant or in the judge's decision to give the jury instructions that were given at trial. Thank you.
Thank you.
What the court stated in Ring was that, and this is quoting from 122 Supreme Court 2432, the Sixth Amendment does not permit a defendant to be exposed to a penalty exceeding the maximum he would receive if punished according to the facts reflected in the jury verdict alone. In this case, the defendant was punished for in excess of 50 grams, and the jury was not asked to find, in fact, whether there was an excess of 50 grams. All they were asked to find was the at least 5 grams. And so he was exposed, and this was a violation both of his jury trial rights and of his right to due process. In describing what you need to focus on, the court has said repeatedly that it doesn't matter whether the courts characterize it as a sentencing factor or an element, but if it increases the maximum, then it needs to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt. And the jury was not properly instructed in this case, and for that reason, we ask that the case be reversed and remanded.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We will proceed to case number 2, please.